Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Ladies and gentlemen, the story of Jesus Christ is the greatest story ever told. We're here, of course, to wish each other a Merry Christmas, but we're here to adore and honor and worship and magnify and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to hear his story. And by the way, I should tell you right up front, nobody ever told the story like Dr. Luke. And I'm going to give it to you from his words. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every man into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Apostle Paul, in just a few words in one verse, Galatians 4:4, tells the story completely. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, and that we might receive the adoption of sons. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad I've been adopted. And my name is written there on that page, bright and fair, as a lad of 11. My name was written there. If your name has not been written there, I admonish you to let God write it today. The greatest story ever told. I want you to open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible, the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about. In the Gospel according to Matthew, now watch this carefully, not chapter 2, but chapter 16. Now you're going to wonder, why on earth is he reading that passage? But if you'll stay with me, I think you'll know why I'm reading such a different passage as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16. As you're finding your place, you could have found it easily in chapter 2, but you got to go 14 more chapters to get to chapter 16. I would remind you that the Gospel according to Matthew was written approximately in 60 A.D., one full generation after the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Matthew was well versed in the Old Testament. In fact, he quoted no less than 65 times, tying the two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, together. God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his feet upon the shore and rides upon the storm. I'm going to read now Matthew 16 at verse number 13 and down through verse number 17 after we pray. Would you pray with me, please? And now, Heavenly Father, we do thank thee today for the full and true meaning of this day, Christmas Day, the day on the Christian calendar that has been set apart to commemorate the greatest event, the event of all events, when the God of all the sovereign universe became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld your glory, Heavenly Father, full of grace and truth. And now I pray that as the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and minds, that we might pay special attention, not to Raymond Barber, but to what the Bible has to say about our Lord Jesus. Help us now to understand as we read. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, at verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Please don't miss Peter's answer in verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, or son of John, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Ladies and gentlemen, philosophers and sages and renowned thinkers down through the centuries have tried their best to picture him, but I must tell you, they have all fallen short in their limited and diminished description of the blessed person whom we know as Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I must tell you that no artist can paint a proper portrait of his blessedness. No philosopher can write an essay that will describe his majesty. No orator can articulate his excellent glory. The hymn writer put it this way: "No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair that fill the heavenly train." By the way, did you know that the Encyclopedia Britannica used 20,000 words to relate the story of Jesus Christ? And by the way, that's more than they used for Cicero, Aristotle, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Confucius, and Julius Caesar combined. What a Savior is Jesus my Lord. The Apostle Peter was right on target when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Again, observe Jesus' answer, response to him. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, I've entitled this message, "Who is this Jesus whose birthday we celebrate today, Sunday, December the 25th, 2016. I can tell you he has never changed. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." I submit to you in the first place that this Jesus is the virgin-born Son of God. Now, we sing Son of Mary, and he was the Son of Mary, but he was the Son of the living God. Isaiah the prophet, often called the Messianic prophet because he prophesied so much about the Messiah, lived 750 years before the birth of Christ. He looked down the corridors of time and made a prophecy about what would happen. And here's what he wrote in his 7th chapter and over into his 9th chapter. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Matthew picks up on that in his 1st chapter, verse 18, and gives us explicit descriptions. Here's what he says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, Matthew continued, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Can you imagine God, the sovereign God, the supreme God of the universe, with us, frail, final, fragile human beings that we are? God with us. God the Creator with us. God the Covenant Maker with us. God the Consummator of all things with us. Why was he with us? To save us, to satisfy us, to secure us, and one day to settle us in his own home. Oh, by the way, aren't you glad God was home when we got to his house today? Thank God for the inspired, infallible, inerrant record of his virgin birth. He is the virgin-born Son of God. And I'm bold enough to say to you, if there be no virgin birth, then Christianity is only a myth that will in the end succumb to its own deception and be buried beneath the ashes of its own presumption. But thank God he was the virgin-born and is the virgin-born Son of God. Who is this Jesus whose birth we celebrate today? I would have you to note in the second place, he's the King of the Jews. Matthew wrote in his 2nd chapter, verse 1, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Now watch this, where is he who is born? Underscore that word. That's the key to the whole thing. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. By the way, a wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, and may have been me. The wisdom of the wise men was not seen in what they knew, but in whom they sought. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? You see, Herod the Great ruled Judea from 37 B.C. to 4 B.C. But he was not the rightful king. He was a usurper. You folks from Oklahoma, that means he replaced somebody. He took somebody else's place. Herod the Great had no right or regal or legal right to sit on that throne. A usurper. He was appointed king by the Romans. Jesus was born king of his father. Luke gives us that account in his first chapter, verse number 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall rule over the house of Jacob forever. I was asked one time, what does that word forever mean? And I said, it means forever. He shall rule forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretched from shore to shore. Till moon shall wax and wane no more. Behold the islands with their kings. And Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south, the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Who is this Jesus? I see in the third place. He is the Lamb of God. Now, the Jews knew all about lambs. On the Passover day, they slew the lamb. Shed its blood, cut its throat. They knew all about them from year to year to year. But here comes one who's different. One day, John the Baptist, the forerunner, the harbinger, the herald, the one who went before to introduce the Lamb to the world, came out of the Jordan River having baptized. By the way, I believe he was a Baptist. That's what his name is. John the Baptist. I didn't name him. God named him. He came out of the Jordan baptizing. He looked up and saw Jesus coming. And you know what he said? John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb. 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 18, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In the Revelation 5:12, John says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful sacrifice. What a wonderful Lamb. The Lamb of God who taketh away, not covereth up, but taketh away the sin of the world. Who is this Jesus whose birth we celebrate today? Well, he's the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The beloved Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel according to John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of the Revelation, was on the Isle of Patmos. He tells us in the first chapter of Revelation he was there because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And there he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's been my privilege to stand where tradition says that John stood when he received that revelation. There he is on that windswept island of Patmos as a prisoner, banished. Well, John, what did you see when you were on that windswept island of Patmos? I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Upon his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. and upon his vesture, and upon his thigh, he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What else, John, did you see? I saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What else did you see, John? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with them, and God shall be with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. What else, John, did you see on that isle? He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb is in it. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about just anybody. We're talking about the Lamb of God, the virgin-born Son of God, the King of the Jews, the King and Lord and all that is written therein. Who is this Jesus whose birth we celebrate? He's the Savior of the world. Someone wrote, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need, ladies and gentlemen, was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. We have 34,000 verses thereabout in our Bible. None is more precious or powerful or productive than John 3:16. I like to think about it as the Bible in miniature. It only has 25 words, and they're all written in red. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Robert Dick Wilson could read 45 languages. He could speak 25 languages. Robert Dick Wilson was a longtime professor at Princeton University. Later, he taught at Westminster Seminary. In one of his final lectures to his students, please don't miss what he said. After all these years of Bible study, the greatest truth I ever learned is this: Jesus loves me. This I know. The angel said to the shepherd, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." My friend, if you're here this morning, you've heard all about Christmas all of your life. But if you haven't heard about what Jesus can do for you on this Christmas day, I want to tell you. If you're here and have never trusted him, if you're here and you don't have the assurance that if you were to die today, they would haul your body down to the morgue, they would take you back to some church or some cemetery or somewhere, and some preacher would get up and say a few words over your dead, cold body, I wonder, could he say he knew Jesus Christ as his Savior? She knew the Lord Jesus. What will the preacher say about you? Have you trusted him, the Lord Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God, the Lamb of God, the King of the Jews, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world? Have you trusted him as your personal Savior? Hear me when I say it. You don't have to go to Mecca or Medina or Rome. No salvation comes out of Mecca or Medina. The Islamic people have a Savior that they call Mohammed. He is not our Savior. A dead man cannot save anybody. Salvation is not coming out of Rome. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm 29 years old and I've never been misunderstood. I don't want to start on Christmas Sunday. The Pope is a good man. And the Pope bears a pontifical title. But the Pope has no power to forgive sin. And the Pope has no power to grant salvation. I'm glad we're all in the priesthood of believers. Did you know that you are looking at a priest? Go home and look in the mirror and you'll see another one. Not as good looking, but you'll see another one. I'm telling you today, my friend, that salvation is only in Jesus. There is one God, the Bible says, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Would you stand with me, please? Heads are bowed. Altars open. Invitation is given. I know it's Christmas Day. I know it's a time of celebration, opening packages and ribbons and eating and drinking and having a good time with the family. And I understand all that. And I appreciate all that. But wait a minute. You are right now in the most important moment of this day. I don't know where you're going. I don't know who you're going to see. But right now, this is the most important moment of this day. I'm going to ask a little bit differently this morning. And please listen up very carefully. How many of you would say, by the lifted hand, I know that I'm saved. If I were to die today, I know I'm going to heaven. Would you put your hand up real high? I know you're not ashamed of it. Hold it up for a moment. Oh my, what a sea of hands. God bless you. Some of you could not lift your hand. You don't have that assurance. But I wonder if you'd say with now with me, nobody looking but the preacher. You would say, preacher, I've tried, I've done this, I've done that, but I'm not really sure that I've been born again. I'm not really sure that I'm on my way to heaven. And I sure appreciate it if you'd pray for me. Would you just put your hand up and say, pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. I don't have that assurance. All over this great congregation. Looks like Easter more than it does Christmas. Great congregation. Anybody, put your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm lost. I don't have that assurance. I wonder who would say, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. But, you know, I've allowed things to crowd out some spiritual things in my life and haven't served God as faithfully and honorably as I should have. Nobody's going to drag you down the aisle. You can make whatever decision you need to make that God leads you to make. But you would say by lifted hand, God has spoken to me about my spiritual life on this Christmas Sunday. Would you put your hand up? God bless you. Are there others? God bless you. And God bless you. And over here, God bless you. And God bless you. God bless you. In a moment, Brother Johnson is going to lead us in an invitational hymn. But if you lifted your hand, I know you meant business. You wouldn't mock God. You have a need. I want you to step out of your seat. Whoever's by you there will give you room to get out. We'll wait for you. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but there is a need. I would invite you to come and place that need on this altar. Listen, you want to get God's attention on Christmas Sunday? Best place I know to get God's attention is altar prayer. We're going to pray and sing. Father, we thank you today for our Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate. May we not be taken up so much with material celebration that we forget the true meaning. If we could put our spiritual arms around the Lord Jesus and tell him we love him, we want to live better in the coming year than we have this year. Speak to hearts now, I pray, in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed, Brother Johnson, sing for us.